Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Go For It. I am your host, Paul Gander. For the next hour and a half, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And of course, as always, you will get a heavy dose of my opinion. If you have an opinion, the number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgant. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgant. And you can send messages to the show on Twitter at GoForItGant. And while you're there, sending me a message, make sure you give me a follow at GoForItGant. Tonight, big show, the day before Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving Eve, if you will. Expected to be joined by Eagles defensive tackle Mike Patterson, who will talk about the Eagles' big victory over the New York football Giants last Sunday in New York City. Well, not necessarily in New York City, but at the Meadowlands, the new Giants Stadium, MetLife Stadium, actually. Also, we're going to be joined by Dejon Gomes, safety for the Washington Redskins, and he's going to talk about their game against the Dallas Cowboys as it was his first start of his career. And also, we're going to be joined by 2012 Hall of Fame semifinalists, which it was announced yesterday, the great Willie Rofe. We're going to get Willie's take on what's going on around the NFL and also his take on what's going to happen tomorrow. Thanksgiving football, always a beautiful thing. Thanksgiving is a beautiful holiday. And we're also going to be joined by actress and one of the stars of The Rum Diary, Miss Kareema Westbrook, and she's going to come on in and she's going to talk about the movie and much, much more. So make sure you stick around. We got a great show for you, and it should be a whole heck of a lot of fun. I want to start right now with the big one of the big games tomorrow, and that is the Green Bay Packers and the Detroit Lions. You have a situation now, the Green Bay Packers. This team is just playing some amazing football, 10-0. And, of course, they are 5-0 on the road. They have been getting it done. And you look at it, in terms of Thanksgiving football in Detroit, we haven't had much to look at or much to see. I mean, the Lions these past few years have been a bad football team. And ironically enough, talking about how bad they are, the Lions have lost seven straight on Thanksgiving by an average of 22.9 points per game. So they're getting blown out. They're essentially a team that's been getting blown out on Thanksgiving. But it's been a long time since we could say that there's a big game on Thanksgiving in Detroit. It really has been that long of a time. And if you look at it, the Detroit Lions are a team that they can put up points with Calvin Johnson and Matthew Stafford. And you look at that ball club, they're no pushover. They're definitely not a pushover. And one thing you can say about the Green Bay Packers offense, yes, it scores a lot of points. But one thing you can say about their defense, they give up some points too. And so this is going to be an old-fashioned shootout tomorrow in Detroit. This is going to be an old-fashioned shootout. If you like offense, you're going to like this football game. You got Aaron Rodgers, over 3,000 yards passing, 31 touchdowns. Matthew Stafford, 2,800 yards passing, over 2,800 yards passing, 25 touchdowns. These guys are putting up numbers. They're absolutely putting up big-time numbers. The key to me is whether or not the Detroit Lions can slow down the Green Bay Packers. I think at the end of the day, both of these teams are going to get their points. The Lions are going to get their points. The Packers are going to get their points. I mean, you talk about a team in Green Bay is averaging 35 points a game, and you're talking about a team with the Detroit Lions who's averaging 30 points a game. So guess what? These teams are going to put up some numbers. They're going to get their points. They're definitely going to get their points tomorrow in Detroit. They're going to get their points. So to me, it's a matter of what defense is going to step up. What defense can step up and make the big plays for their ball clubs. And you look at the Lions and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, last time the Lions and played Aaron Rodgers in the Green Bay Packers, they knocked Aaron Rodgers out with a concussion. They knocked him out. And so you're figuring with this defensive line, with Adamican Sue, those guys theoretically should be able to get some pressure on Aaron Rodgers. They should be. They should be able to get some pressure on Aaron Rodgers. I mean, this Lions defense, I mean, they're fifth against the pass. And they're tied for eighth with 27 sacks. So you look at that, you're saying this Lions defense, you're saying in terms of defense, you would have to say Detroit Lions have more of an edge. You would say they would have more of an edge going into this football game. The Packers, you can get some points up against them. You can definitely get some points up against those boys. And we'll see if, not if, it's just a matter of how much. The Detroit Lions, I think, will get points, and I think the Packers are going to get points. This is going to be an old-fashioned shootout. This is going to be an old-fashioned shootout. And to that, the Green Bay Packers, they're 31st against the pass. 31st against the pass. So guess what? There's opportunities against the Green Bay Packers. There are opportunities. And this should be a great football game. This is a game I'm looking forward to. And there's a lot of football games tomorrow, three football games, and I'm looking forward to actually all of them. And I think it's been a long time since you can say that, especially when you have the Lions, who've been a bad football team for a long time. And they're on Thanksgiving every year. So I think it's been a long time since you said you're actually looking forward to a Thanksgiving football game. And you look at the Dolphins and the Cowboys, both of those teams. Dolphins on a three-game winning streak. Cowboys on a three-game winning streak. So both of these teams are hot. These are two hot teams. And you looked at this, you look at that football game, this football game, Cowboys-Dolphins a few weeks back, you're saying to yourself, this is going to be a bad football game. But right now the Miami Dolphins are playing some good football. Matt Moore playing some good football. Reggie Bush playing some good football. The defense, the Miami Dolphins defense, has not allowed a touchdown in 12 quarters, playing good football. So you got a lot of the Dolphins are playing some very good football of late, playing some very good football. And they just beat down the Buffalo Bills last week in Miami. But the Dallas Cowboys are also playing some good football too. This is a team also playing some good football. Dallas Cowboys, three-game winning streak, and a tough game in Washington. They got it done in overtime. Romo is playing some great football right now, not turning the football over, and is making plays for the Dallas Cowboys. He is making plays for the Dallas Cowboys. And during the Cowboys' three-game winning streak, 8 touchdowns and no interceptions. So that, my friend, is getting it done. And Tony Romo is doing that, getting it done. They are getting it done. And so we'll see. And a lot of talk about whether or not the Cowboys are truly the best team in the NFC East. There's a lot of talent in Dallas. And I've looked at the Cowboys as just like I've looked at the Philadelphia Eagles. Two very talented football teams. But teams that have found the weirdest of ways to lose. They found ways to lose football games. But Dallas isn't doing that right now. Dallas is not doing that right now. They are playing some solid football. And right now, in playing that solid football, they're on top of the NFC East, thanks to the Philadelphia Eagles, who beat up on the New York Giants last Sunday night. So the Dallas Cowboys, 6-4, three-game winning streak. Their favorite going into this football game is against the Dolphins. And theoretically, you should beat the Miami Dolphins at home. You should beat the Miami Dolphins. You're playing the Miami Dolphins in your house. You should beat that football team. You should beat that football team if you're the Dallas Cowboys. But we'll see what happens. We'll see if the Cowboys get it done. It's not going to be an easy football game like we thought it was, thought it would be a few weeks back. The Dolphins are playing some pretty good football. They're playing some pretty good football. For a while there, they did suck for luck. But right now, they're playing some good football, and it looks like they are out of the Andrew Luck sweepstakes. They are out of the Andrew Luck sweepstakes, and it looks like the Indianapolis Colts will have that all sewn up. And there's a good possibility that the Colts may not win a football game this year. So it looks like the Indianapolis Colts are sucking pretty well for Andrew Luck. So it's going to be a good opportunity for the Indianapolis Colts. And we'll see what they do with that pick, I mean, being that they have Peyton Manning signed, sealed, and delivered for a lot of money. We'll see what they do there. And then the nightcap, the Hardball Bowl, if you will, the Hardball Bowl, where you have Jim and John getting it done and playing each other. It's going to be a big football game. It's going to be a good football game and a game I'm looking forward to. But we'll get back to that now. We'll get back to that later. But now let's bring in a guy who helped the Philadelphia Eagles cause Sunday night against the New York Giants, defensive tackle Mike Patterson. Mike, how are you, sir?
I'm all right. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us.
Mike,
let's get down to it, man. You guys, a great defensive performance against the Giants. I mean, you guys had a great performance defensively against the Cowboys a few weeks back. But I think you would agree, this was probably the best performance for the defense this season.
Probably was. You know, it was a good standpoint for us to go out there and play well and show everybody what we were able to do.
And definitely. You guys played and you guys fought. And this was a physical game. A lot of fights, a lot of action after the whistle. You played in this game. How physical was it?
I mean, it was real tough, man. You know, after the game, the day after, you know, you kind of feel beat up and stuff. So, I mean, it was a tough game. Both sides of the ball, you know, they never gave up, and they kept on trying to fight. And, you know, we had to go out there and continue to hold our run, hold our stand to get out the win.
And you guys were very effective against Eli Manning. You were constantly in his face, including yourself. You got yourself a half of a sack against Eli. Talk about the pressure you guys put on Eli Manning and the New York Giants.
We just know that, you know, they have a great offensive line, so we just had to go out there and just rush against them to get some pressure on Manning, you know, for corners and stuff like that. So, I mean, it was a tough game, man. It was real tough. Those guys, you know, they went out there and held the ground, and, you know, it was tough for us to get to them, but, you know, we got to them a few times, and those two times what we needed to win.
And you look at the last game you guys played the New York Giants. They ran the ball for over 100 yards. This time around, you held them to 29 yards. What did you guys do differently this time around?
No, we didn't do anything different. It was just everybody was on the same page with things, and just things were blown our way.
And you look at it, Mike, what we saw Sunday night, is that what you envisioned this defense would be coming into the season?
Most definitely. You know, we got plenty of talent. You know, we got a lot of good guys that want to go out there and play the game. So, most definitely, you know, this is where we should have been. And I'm just happy that, you know, at some point in time we found it in the season.
We're talking to defensive tackle for the Philadelphia Eagles, Mike Patterson. And Mike, Vince Young, he played fairly well Sunday night. Big drive, 18-play drive there to take the lead for you guys. How impressed were you with Vince Young?
We all know what he's able to do. We see him, you know, we see him all at Tennessee. You know, he was able to do some good things. So we know that, you know, he's definitely a weapon and he's also a good person. So, you know, he just want to go out there and play the game. And, you know, he stepped up for us and he did what we needed for him to do to get the win.
And do you think Sunday might have also been a case of where you guys felt like, you know what, Mike Vick's not playing, Macklin's out, we got to step up?
I mean, it most definitely. That's how it is when any player goes down. You know, we got guys behind them that are able to step up and, you know, go out there and do the same things possibly. So, you know, we got confidence in all the guys that we have here. Everybody's getting, you know, everything is good, and everybody likes to go out there and play.
And your defensive coordinator, Juan Castillo, he's caught a lot of flack this season. Do you think a lot of people have been a little unfair towards Castillo?
I mean, it's just one of the things that comes with the job. You know, he knows how it is. He's been in the game for a long time, and he's seen it, especially here. You know, he knows how it goes. So, you know, he's honed it down. I mean, he's still a good guy, and he's still a good coach, and he's going out there and doing his best to make the right calls for us to get in the right position.
We're talking to Mike Patterson, defensive tackle for the Philadelphia Eagles. And, Mike, you guys have a big football game against Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. You got Welker. You got Gronkowski. You got a lot of guys in New England. To me, what you guys have to do, you guys got to put a lot of pressure on Tom Brady if you want to win on Sunday. Do you feel like that's what you guys have to do?
I mean, of course, most definitely. I mean, we're going against a very good quarterback. So, you know, if you get bodies on him and, you know, you get pressure on him, you know, hopefully they could go out and make mistakes and stuff like that. So, but, you know, he's a bit of a different challenge and stuff like that, and we're looking forward to it, and it's going to be a good game.
And, Mike, right now you guys are 4-6, two games behind the New York Giants and the Dallas Cowboys. I heard Al Michaels say at the beginning of the game that you guys have to win now until the Super Bowl. I mean, is that the mindset now? You got to win every week?
Most definitely, but we're only going to take one game at a time. You know, we can't look forward, look ahead and stuff like that. Right now we're just worried about the Patriots.
And I look at this team, there's so much talent on this team, and I've been saying all along, until you lose that seventh game, this team has a shot.
Yes, most definitely. I mean, we still feel that we do have a shot. Again, you know, we're two games behind, so I mean, everybody knows what's on the wrist and what's at stake and stuff like that, so I just think that guys understand that, and everybody's just trying to make the most out of it.
And, Mike, this season started off a little scary for you. You suffered a seizure during training camp. I heard you say in other interviews that you really don't remember much of it. What do you remember about it?
Waking up in the ambulance, that's pretty much it.
So pretty much just waking up in the ambulance and in the hospital, pretty much?
Yeah, that's it. Everything else was pretty much a blur. You know, I remember I was on the field, but like from the point where I passed out, I don't remember all that.
Wow. And it was speculated that possibly you would be out for the season or even your career could be done. Throughout this process, throughout all the testing and everything, how difficult was that for you?
I mean, it was tough just for the fact that at first, you know, I didn't understand, you know, no one understand what was going on and what was going on with me and what has happened and stuff like that. So, but, you know, as I got diagnosed and they was able to find out what it was, you know, they also, you know, learned about it and, you know, the doctors told me that I was able still to play. So I was really grateful and happy about that. And then not only that, but football has no cause in it. So I'm really excited about it. And I was excited that I was able to get back on the field.
And, yeah, that's definitely great news. And, Mike, tomorrow is Thanksgiving. You're a big man. And so I got to ask, what's on the menu at the Patterson house?
Two turkeys? Two turkeys.
What about on the side?
A little bit of everything. How about that?
Mike, I know it's going to be good. I know it's going to be good. You going to fry that turkey?
No. Any bake?
Okay. So that definitely sounds delicious. Maybe you could send me a plate.
Most definitely.
And, Mike, again, it's Thanksgiving. What are you most thankful for?
Oh, man, just able to go back out there and play ball. You know, it had a tough start, but regardless of the situation, I'm really thankful to continue the thing that I really love and go out there and play football.
Right, and definitely, I mean, this is the time of year to be thankful, and you have a lot to be thankful for. Again, Mike, give me a plate. Make sure you send me a plate. That honey turkey sounds very, very delicious. I mean, my mouth is watering just thinking about it.
Well, Stephen, it's going to be good.
I can imagine. Mike, we wish you and the Philadelphia Eagles nothing but the best of luck. Full disclosure, I am a lifelong Eagles fan, So I am definitely rooting for you guys to get it done. And let's get it done against the Patriots. And let's find a way to get into the playoffs. Nothing but the best of luck for you, Mike.
All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Let's do this again. Take care.
All right. Sounds good.
Mike Patterson, defensive tackle for the Philadelphia Eagles, as they get ready for a big football game against the New England Patriots. And, again, the Eagles, an impressive performance against the New York football Giants. I mean, I give them a lot of credit. Vince Young is the backup. He's stepping in there. A guy that, you know, hasn't played in a long time. And it showed. Vince Young was very rusty early on. But as the football game progressed, Vince started getting it done. He started getting it done, and he started making plays in the pocket and just getting it done for the Philadelphia Eagles. And DeSean Jackson was big as well. It was good to have him back. Good to see him back on the football field. He got it done for the Philadelphia Eagles. He made a lot of plays Sunday night for the Philadelphia Eagles. And he made a play where he had the long catch, and there was a little taunting situation afterwards. But, I mean, the guy played football. The guy got it done. A lot of people have criticized him and his play, his the way he goes about certain things, his behavior and everything. But the reality is that those type of things is what makes DeSean Jackson DeSean Jackson. He plays with that type of edge. That's who he is. I think that's what makes him effective. That's what makes him effective, his ability to play the game. But he has to play with that swagger, with that type of emotion. And sometimes it borders on, you know, making certain mistakes and doing certain things, like the mistake he made by getting a taunting penalty against him. And that could have been a big play. That definitely could have been a big play, and it could have definitely won against the Eagles, but fortunately for the Eagles, it did not. But DeSean Jackson, he's a playmaker, and they missed that playmaking ability against the Arizona Cardinals, and they got that playmaking ability back against the New York Giants, and it showed. It definitely showed. The Philadelphia Eagles, they came out and they played defensively. They really got it done. Eli Manning and the New York Giants football offense has been playing some very good football lately. Eli's been playing some good football lately. And the Philadelphia Eagles did a great job against him. They did a great job against him. They got into his face, got a lot of pressure on him. A lot of guys got a lot of pressure on him. And that was big. That was big. They got pressure on Eli. They definitely got pressure on him, and it got in his face. Knocked him down a little bit, and that was big. That was key. Give that Eagle team a lot of credit. And I keep saying, I've said this over and over, this team is still alive until they lose that seventh game. Until they lose that seventh game, I'm going to say the Philadelphia Eagles are still alive for the simple fact of the talent that they have on that roster. That is a talented roster, a very, very talented roster. That defense came out and played their butt off Sunday night. They held the New York Giants to 29 yards rushing. They bottled up Brandon Jacobs. He couldn't find any type of running room. They did a great job Sunday night. Now, I think if they want to continue these winning ways, Michael Vick needs to play Sunday against the New England Patriots, because I think the Patriots are going to score points, and I think you need Vick in there to score points with that Patriot offense. The New England Patriots are going to score points. They're definitely going to put points up. Can the Eagles match them? Can the Eagles match them? And this front four with Babin and Trent Cole, Cullen Jenkins, and, of course, Mike Patterson, I mean, those guys got their work cut out for them. They got to get pressure on Brady. They got to get pressure on Brady. Knock him down a little bit. You got to knock him down a little bit. You knock him down a little bit, and you're effective. You're definitely effective if you knock him down a little bit. You got to knock him down. You got to knock him down. You got to put him on his butt a few times. You got to get pressure on him. You can't have him back there comfortable in that pocket picking you apart. You can't have that, because that's what will happen if Tom Brady has time. He will pick you apart. That's what he does. That's who he is. Tom Brady can be a problem. So we'll see if the Philadelphia Eagles defensively can get it done. We'll see if the Eagles can get it done defensively, because they're going to need to. If they, especially if Michael Vick doesn't play. If Michael Vick doesn't play defensively, this team has to step up. They have to step up big. And what I saw Sunday, I believe it's possible. I didn't think that weeks ago. But after what I saw on Sunday, I think it's possible. Can this defense keep it going? Can this defense keep it going? We shall see. We definitely shall see. And I want to go back to Thanksgiving football, and I want to go to the Ravens 49ers, the Harbaugh Bowl. John and Jim, brothers, first time in NFL history that two brothers are coaching against each other, and they happen to coach against each other on Thanksgiving. So it should be interesting. I mean, it's a night game, so you wonder if those guys will eat together earlier in the day and then at night try to rip each other's hearts out. I mean, you wonder if that's going to be the case. You wonder if that's going to be the case. And right now, Ray Lewis is questionable to play tomorrow. According to my sources, Ray Lewis may be done for the year. He may be done for the year. And that's what my sources are telling me about Ray Lewis. But we'll see if he plays tomorrow. We'll see if he plays tomorrow. But I look at this game, and it's going to be a good one. I mean, these are two very good football teams. Two very good football teams here. And the San Francisco 49ers on an 8-game winning streak. An 8-game winning streak. I mean, again, this is another game. You look at this game on the schedule before the year started, and you're saying to yourself, this is going to be a boring Thanksgiving night football game. But now, you fast forward to now, you're saying to yourself, this is going to be a very interesting football game. This is going to be a very good football game. You're talking about two of the elite teams in the National Football League. You're talking about two of the elite teams in the National Football League. So this is going to be some interesting football, and this is some football I'm looking forward to. I'm definitely looking forward to this football game. Jim Harbaugh, John Harbaugh, the Harbaugh brothers, going at it. Teams who were playing some good football, two teams playing good football, two teams getting it done, two teams on top of their divisions. This is good football. Even without John and Jim being involved, this is some good football. But you add in the drama of John and Jim playing, coaching against each other, this is even better football. The drama. This adds to the football game. This adds to the football game. And it should be interesting what Alex Smith can do against this tough Raven defense. Should be very interesting what Alex Smith will do tomorrow. Should be interesting. And we'll see what Flacco can do. We'll definitely see what Flacco can do. I mean, both of these defenses don't give up a lot of points. Niners only give up 14 points a game. The Ravens, 17 points per game. And you look at the Niners, they're 4-0 on the road. And they won in some pretty good places. They won in Philadelphia. They won in Detroit. They won in Cincinnati. So they had beat some good teams on the road. They've beaten some good teams on the road. They definitely have. But we shall see. We definitely shall see what's going to happen tomorrow. And I'm interested. I'm definitely interested. What can this Niners team do against this defense? We'll see what Alex Smith is made of. We'll see tomorrow night. We'll see. We'll find out a lot about Alex Smith tomorrow night. And if he stinks up to Joyner, that's not going to take away a lot from Alex Smith because the guy has had a good year. This guy's had a very good year. He's protected the football, and he's gotten it done. 13 touchdowns, only 4 interceptions. So he's protected the football. He's definitely protected the football. And then you have Frank Gore, who's running at a great, who's playing at a great level right now. Over 800 yards rushing, 5 touchdowns, guys getting it done on the ground. And then you have that defense, who's only allowing 14 points a game. So teams are having a hard time scoring against this San Francisco defense. Teams are having a hard time scoring against that defense. So we'll see what happens Thursday night, Thanksgiving night. At that point, we may all be digesting our food. We might be even a little tired at that point. We might be asleep. Might not even make it through the game because of all the food that we ate. But we'll definitely see what happens. And let's bring in now safety for the Washington Redskins, Dejon Gomes. Dejon, how are you, sir?
Doing good. How you doing, man?
I'm doing very well, doing very well. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem.
And Dejon, last week against the Dallas Cowboys, I mean, you guys played very well. You guys had opportunities, but ultimately you lost in overtime. How tough was that loss?
Oh, real tough. Anytime you play a game and you give it all you got and you go overtime and you give it more on the short end of the stick, it's still tough.
And definitely is a tough situation for you guys. But, Dejon, you played well. You got your first start last week against the Cowboys. You played well. Mike Shanahan was happy with your play. How would you rate your play?
I think it was all right. I
think we got a bad sell. How about you call back?
All right.
We're going to get that taken care of. We'll have him call back, fix that up. But Mike Shanahan was happy with his play and what he did against the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, he played some pretty good football. He was all over the field, 14 tackles against the Cowboys. So he was around the football a lot in that particular ball game. And, you know, he's a good prospect, Dejon Gomes, and we'll see what he can do moving forward. But he played well against the Dallas Cowboys, and again, Mike Shanahan was very happy with his play. Mike Shanahan was very happy with his play and what he did Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys. But we're going to work to try to get him back in here. He was breaking up a little bit there, so we'll work to try to get that fixed up and get him back in. But it's Thanksgiving Eve, and I know this is a big party night for a lot of people. A lot of people are out and about partying, reconnecting with their families and with their friends and whatnot. So this is a big night, big Thanksgiving Eve. Let's bring Dejon back in.
Can you hear me now?
Got you, sir. Got you in. So we were at your play. Mike Shanahan said you played well. How would you rate your play?
I think I played all right. Maybe A little above average, but after watching film, there's a lot of things I thought I could have done better. And I really just got to learn from it and move forward.
And what do you think specifically you can do better?
Just seeing the bigger aspect of the play and not looking in too much on one particular thing. So just so my awareness could be a little better.
And talk about the speed of the NFL game in comparison to the college game. How different is it?
I think it's from college to the NFL, but after coming out of training camp and those 4 preseason games and the first series, I pretty much adjusted to it. So I'm sure if I went back to college and was playing, I would notice the difference, but I don't really notice it anymore.
Right. And you left the game briefly with a leg injury. Tell us what happened there. Dijon? Hello? Dijon? We lost him again. Must be in a bad cell area. Hopefully we can get him back in. But, I mean, he said he really didn't notice the speed of the college game. I mean, didn't notice the difference in speed of the college and NFL game, which was very interesting. I mean, a lot of guys talk about the difference in speed of the two games, but Dijon did not know the difference. And like I said before, he was around the football a lot Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys. He was around the football a lot. You saw the football, you saw Dijon Gomes. So he was definitely around the football a lot and made a lot of plays for the Washington Redskins. The Redskins made the plays. You look at that football game, Washington was in it. And Washington probably could have, Washington easily could have won that football game. It definitely could have won that football game. But give Tony Romo and the Dallas Cowboys a lot of credit. They pulled it out. They came together and they got it done. Romo made plays, the big play to Witten, and then a big strike to Dez Bryant there in overtime that set up the field goal and ultimately the game-winning field goal in overtime for the Dallas Cowboys. But the Dallas Cowboys are playing some good football. They're definitely playing some good football right now. So give them a lot of credit, and they're getting it done. They are getting it done, the Dallas Cowboys. And right now they're on a three-game winning streak and on top of the NFC East. They're on top of the NFC East. Can they hold it? Can the Cowboys hold it? We shall see. But the Washington Redskins played some good football Sunday. And, you know, they came out and they played with a purpose. They played with a purpose Sunday night against the Dallas Cowboys. But Tony Romo made the plays. And that's what it comes down to sometimes in this league. Guys making the necessary plays in this league. And that's what happened. They made the plays. The Dallas Cowboys made the plays when the plays needed to be made. And ultimately, that's why they won the football game. That is why they won the football game. But you look at it now, moving forward for the Cowboys. The New York Giants right now, I want to go to the Giants for a second. The New York Giants right now, they got a tough road. They go to New Orleans, Monday Night Football. Then they have the Packers the following week. And they still have two games against the Cowboys. They still have the Jets on their schedule. And they also have the Washington Redskins on their schedule, a team who beat the Giants the first week of the season. So they have a tough road. They definitely have a tough road. But we shall see what happens with that Giants team. Will they step up? Will they step up? And the Giants have been known to collapse. They have been known not to finish the season too strong. So will that be the case? Will that be the case Monday night against the New Orleans Saints? Will that be the case? I mean, the New Orleans Saints are a very good football team. That's a very good football team. A very good football team. And you look at it, you look at that Saints team, they put up points. They put up points. Can the Giants contend with that? The Giants put up points too. And Eli has been playing like the elite quarterback he said he was coming into this season. But you look at it now, moving forward, can the Giants get back on track? They did not play a good football game against the Philadelphia Eagles. Did not play a good football game at all. They struggled mightily against the Eagles. They really did. Couldn't run the ball. Couldn't pass the ball. They couldn't get anything done. And it cost them. It cost them. And unfortunately, for the Giants, you look at it now, your schedule gets a lot tougher. Your schedule gets a lot tougher. And that's why I've always said that the Philadelphia Eagles have a chance because of this tough schedule that the Giants have, because the Eagles still have to play the Cowboys as well. And if you look at the Eagles, they beat the Cowboys earlier in the season. They beat the Cowboys again. Now you have a tiebreaker there. You have a tiebreaking advantage. So you, with that tiebreaker there, since you have swept the Cowboys, if you're the Eagles, you're in good shape. You're in good position. Good shape to get it done. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with the New York Football Giants. We'll see what happens moving forward. Can the Giants get past this tough schedule? Can they do it? Can they do it? You look at it, to me, the best I think they can hope for, you figure the Saints, the Packers, Cowboys twice, the Jets, and the Redskins. I'm thinking 3-3 is the best to me. You figure they'll split with the Cowboys. They're not going to win both of those games. You figure the best they can do is split with the Saints and Packers out of those two games. And then you're talking the best in terms of the Redskins and Jets, probably a split there. So it's not going to be an easy road for the New York Football Giants. It's going to be a hard road. It's going to be a hard road. Can the New York Giants get by this hard road? I don't know, man. I really don't know, and I think the best they'll be is 3-3. The best you can hope for, I think, as a Giants fan is 3-3, but they could easily lose to the Packers and the Saints, and they could easily lose. They're going to at least lose once to the Cowboys, and they can easily lose to the Jets or Redskins. More so the Jets and the Redskins, but they easily could lose. So we'll see what happens moving forward with the New York Football Giants, hoping to get DeJuan Gomes back in here. It's in a bad sell area, so see how possible that will be, getting him back in. But let's move forward now. Jake Plummer had some interesting comments about Tim Tebow, and I saw Tim Tebow on First Taken. He responded very well to those comments, I thought. He responded very well to those comments. I mean, I was impressed with how he responded to those comments by Jake Plummer. I mean, I was very impressed. I was very impressed. And he really did a good job of addressing what Jake Plummer said. And you have Plummer, and he said, you know, he complimented Tebow, called him a winner, called the guy a winner, and says the guy's been getting it done. But he did say something that was very interesting. And Plummer was quoted as saying, "I think that when he accepts the fact that we know that he loves Jesus Christ, then I think I like him a little better. I don't hate him because of that. I just would rather not have to hear that every single time he takes a good snap or makes a good handoff." And so those are Jake Plummer's comments about Tim Tebow. And Tim Tebow's a guy who does reference Jesus Christ a whole lot. But I look at it as this. I think Tim Tebow sees the NFL as a platform for him to spread the gospel of Christ. And I think he's taken advantage of that platform. He's taken advantage of that platform. And so his thing is, you know what, I'm going to take advantage of this platform, and every opportunity I get, I'm going to shout out Jesus Christ. And that's what he does. That's what he does. And he responded to Jake Plummer very interestingly, and I thought he put it in such simple terms. I got to give him a lot of credit for it. He basically said, and I'm kind of paraphrasing, I'm not quoting him directly, but he basically said that, do you tell your wife you love her every day? And so to me, that put it in simplistic terms. His relationship with Jesus Christ is, you know, I tell Jesus Christ every day that I love them and tell the world that I love them. And that's just like you, me, or whoever, telling our wives or telling our husbands that we love them. And to me, when you put it in those simplistic terms, you got it. You got exactly what he was saying, exactly who he is and exactly what he does. And it kind of made you root for the guy a little more. He stands firm in his convictions. And I got to give him credit for that. He stands firm in his convictions. He believes what he believes, and he's not ashamed of it. He believes what he believes, and he's not ashamed of it. And that's a beautiful thing to me. Whether you agree with it or disagree with it, he's saying what he believes. And he's sticking by it. He's standing by it. It's who he is. It's a big part of who he is. This is who he is. Tim Tebow is a follower of Christ. He's a Christian. And he wants the world to know that he is a Christian. And he wants the world to know how great Jesus Christ is. And that's what he's doing. He's spreading the gospel of Christ and using the platform that he has, being in the National Football League and being such a popular player. He is using this platform to spread the gospel. He's using this platform to spread the gospel. And I can't really argue with that. I can't argue with that at all. I really can't. I can't argue with that at all. And you know, I respect it. I truly respect it. And whether he's a good quarterback, bad quarterback, you know, it's not really relevant. Well, it is relevant in terms of football. But in terms of his message and everything, whether he's a good quarterback, bad quarterback, it seems like he's a good guy. In terms of his quarterback play, I have some questions. I got a lot of questions, actually. More questions than answers at this point. And I think we're going to have more questions than answers for a while. Especially, I mean, he's 4-1. But again, he's completing less than 50% of his passes. That's not a recipe for success in the National Football League as a quarterback. It's just not. It's just not. But reality is, he finds a way to win football games. He finds a way to win football games. And that's impressive to me. He finds a way to win football games. And again, I still have my questions about Tebow the quarterback. Tebow the man, it seems genuine. It seems sincere. Tebow the quarterback, I still have my questions. It's just, he's playing the quarterback position in a way that no one has played the quarterback position before. In some respect, if this does work, maybe it revolutionizes the game. If this does work. But we shall see moving forward. Let's bring in now the great Willie Wirth. Willie, how are you, sir?
How y'all doing tonight?
I'm doing great, doing well. How you doing?
Good.
And Willie, let's get right down to it. Jay Cutler, thumb injury, had surgery on his thumb, might be back during the season, but may not be. Caleb Haney will be the starter for the Bears. Can they keep the momentum going without Jay Cutler?
They're going to have to use Matt Forte more. I mean, the quarterback hasn't played a lot. I mean, he's going to have to try to spread the ball around. And really and truly, what Cutler's done with the offensive line, with the weapons he had, has been great. I mean, he's really been playing some great football lately, you know, after they got that line shored up. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for them to keep it going with this young quarterback. But I still think they're in a good situation to make the playoffs. And if they had been able to pick up Kyle Orton before the Chiefs did, then I think that would have helped them more. But it's going to be a little tougher.
And definitely, Orton would have been a great fit for the Chicago Bears. And he's been in Chicago before. But we'll see what happens. Tomorrow, big Thanksgiving game in Detroit, Willie. And it's been a long time since we said that on Thanksgiving. But you got the Packers. They score a lot of points, 35 a game. The Lions, they score a lot of points, 30 points a game. These defenses give up some points, too. With all that being said, we're going to have a shootout. But can the Lions knock off the Packers?
I think the Lions have a good chance. I think the fact that they're playing at Detroit, you know, Jimmy's knee is bothering him, and then the running, even though they don't use the running back as much, the running back, Starks is hurt. I think if Detroit's going to do it, they got a great chance this week. The running back's playing good. I don't think Stafford's going to throw three picks in the first half like he did against Carolina, and they still came back and scored almost 50 in that game. So I'm looking for Detroit to pull an upset tomorrow.
So you got Detroit tomorrow winning against the Green Bay Packers and handing the Packers their first loss of the season.
Handing their first loss in Detroit on that turf, yes.
We shall see. I may disagree with you, but we shall see. Tomorrow, Willie, you got the Cowboys. 3-game winning streak against the Miami Dolphins. Also on a 3-game winning streak, you look at this game weeks ago, you would think this game would be a laugher and that the Dolphins would not have a shot, but the Dolphins are playing some good football right now. But you got the Dallas Cowboys tied with the Giants on top of the NFC East. Looking at the Cowboys now, are they the best team in the NFC East?
Right now they're playing the best football. They're playing the most consistent football after that game against Philly. I mean, Romo, Tony Romo's been playing great football. I mean, he's not turning the ball over. I think he's got one pick. Dez Bryant has really turned him into that go-to receiver. And they've been winning these games without Miles Austin, who beat San Francisco for the only game they lost this year, really took over that game, and they hit that rookie late for that long touchdown to win it in overtime. But they've been doing this without Miles Austin. Dez Bryant has really turned into the number one receiver, and they're playing great football. They got a running game going. So I think Dallas is clicking on all cylinders. But like you said, they got a running game going, and Tony Romo's playing some excellent football. So I think Dallas is going to have a – going to win this one at home, too. I don't think Miami, as well as they're playing, I don't think they have enough to go in and beat Dallas at home.
And I agree with you. I don't think they have enough to beat Dallas at home. And you look at the NFC East, I mean, my Eagles are still in it. And the Giants, they have a tough, tough schedule moving forward. I mean, they play your Saints.
I don't know what – your Eagles got a tough schedule, too.
But I think they get the Patriots at home. They get them at a good time.
I don't know about that. You think they're going to get the Patriots?
I think they will beat the Patriots. I believe in this ball club.
I don't know about that one.
I believe in this ball club. You look at this team. There is a lot of talent.
You know what I did notice last week watching them play against the Giants? To play without Michael Vick and with Vince Young. DeSean Jackson looked like a different football player than he's looked all year. They seem to play with a lot more energy. The defense seemed to play with a lot more energy. I don't know what got into them, if it's the Giants and them, but it looked to me like that team was playing harder last week than I've seen them play in the last month. Would you guys agree?
They definitely played some great football. That defense played with a lot of passion. That was the best the defense has been all year. And you got the sense that everybody kind of stepped their game up.
Well, where have they been, though? Why haven't they been playing like that all year?
And that's a good question. I mean, maybe it's a situation.
The defense has been giving it up a lot of time. When they did have a lead, the defense would give it up. That defense wasn't giving up anything the other night.
No, they weren't. They weren't. That looked like a totally different defense than we have seen all year long. And I think it was a case of Mike Vick being out and guys knowing they had to step up and knowing that they're not going to get a lot of points with Vince Young as the quarterback. And you look at Vince Young, he struggled early on, but he really picked up his play there at the end. Really did.
He did, but if I'm a coach, I want to know why my defense has not been playing with that type of passion and intensity all year. And they did play with a lot more passion, it seemed to me. And DeSean Jackson looked like he played with a lot more sense of urgency last week, too. So, I want that team to be out there playing every week, you know, with Michael Vick out there or with Vince Young out there. But, I will say that was a great win. I didn't think they would beat the Giants in New York, but I think they got a different animal coming in there with the New England Patriots this week.
and we definitely will see what happens on Sunday, but I think the Eagles find a way to get it done. This team is not done until they lose that seventh game, and I don't think it will happen this week against the Patriots. I don't. I think the Eagles get it done. And Willie, the nightcap, the Harbaugh Bowl, Ravens, 49ers, Ray Lewis is questionable. My sources are telling me he's out for the year. Do the 49ers continue their winning ways?
I'm picking another upset. I'm picking Baltimore to beat them at home.
Okay. I like the 49ers tomorrow. I really do.
I like the 49ers, but I just think Alex Smith, eventually Alex Smith has to show his true colors.
Maybe his true colors are 13 touchdowns or 4 interceptions.
Okay, we'll see.
We'll definitely see tomorrow, but
I'm picking our home team tomorrow.
It's an interesting battle because, you know, the 49ers, they don't give up a lot of points, and the Ravens, they don't give up a lot of points either. So it's going to be interesting.
It's going to come down to who makes the turnover. It's going to come down to who makes a mistake.
And which quarterback won't throw the big interception or the big fumble.
Yeah, exactly.
And we'll see what happens. We're talking to Willie Rofe, the great Willie Rofe, 11-time Pro Bowler. And, Willie, yesterday you were named a semifinalist, 2012 Hall of Fame class. You were a finalist last season, and more than likely you probably will be a finalist again. So talk about the honor of being a semifinalist in this 2012 class.
Oh, it's great. You know, anytime you get back in that, you know, you semifinalist, you're down to the final 26. You know, I was so, you know, for me, I was so happy that Atwater got included this year, and I had a chance to meet Carl Mecklenburg from the Denver Broncos. He's also a great guy. So, you know, Atwater and I had the same agent. We've known each other most of my career. I knew Steve, and you know, being in there with Jerome and Will Shields, obviously coming from Kansas City, who I played with, who I came out of college with in the class of 93. So it's great. It's great to, you know, be recognized with those guys. It's, you know, just getting that far is an outstanding achievement, not even to get to the Hall, to get to where we are, you know, is showing that you are a special football player. So, you know, it's always an honor, you know, to get included with those group of players.
And definitely a big-time honor. We'll see what happens moving forward. But it looks like you will be a finalist again. But we'll see what happens. And, Willie, I mean, we can't let you get out of here without giving us your top five. Who's in the top five this week?
This week, well, you know, Green Bay's number one.
Right.
I've got the 49ers number two right now.
Okay.
New Orleans still is up there. I got New Orleans number three.
Right.
Baltimore number four.
All right.
Or you can flip them, Baltimore or the Patriots. I'll take the Patriots at four and Baltimore at five.
Okay.
Steelers, and the Steelers are right there on the verge of it. And Chicago, I'm just right now with Chicago, the situation they have at quarterback, I had to take them out because we lost Cutler. And I think it's going to be a tough road for them for the next few weeks until, you know, with the situation, unless they use Matt Forte a lot more than what they've been doing.
And so the Steelers, they don't get into the top five. I mean, tied with the Ravens on top of the AFC North, they don't get into this top five?
No, it's either the Steelers or Baltimore.
Right. Well,
I got to put the Patriots in the top five right now. I got to put the Patriots the way the Patriots are playing, the way they can use different. I mean, they have Deion Branch. He was injured some of the game. Then they have Ocho Cinco. Still doesn't seem like he's in sync with the offense. They're not even using him. And you know they got Gronkowski, who's got 20 touchdowns in 26 games. That's the most the Titans ever had. So, you know, I mean, the way the Patriots are playing, you know, they had a hiccup, but they're playing some real good football up there right now.
And last time I thought when the Patriots and the Steelers played, the Steelers were the team that came that won that football game. So to me, with that being said, I think the Steelers belong in that top five over the Patriots.
So you want Baltimore? So in your top five, you got Baltimore and the Steelers, and you have you have New England like it's 16 is what you're saying.
Basically, New England is not in the top five.
Okay, well if they're not in five, they're right there. So, but I
right.
have New England right. I have New England in the top five, and it's left to be seen. You know what the Steelers are going to be able to do, and the way that let's see how that line holds up. Even though New England Patriots had a little problem in the first quarter and a half against Kansas City, they're still a tough team. I mean, either one of those teams is right. Those teams are really tit for tat. You know, it matters where they're playing at. You know who. So you know whoever gets the best record, I think will be determining where they go in the playoffs to see how far they'll
right.
go anyway.
And we'll definitely see what happens this week in the National Football League. Willie, tomorrow is Thanksgiving. You're a fairly big man, and so I got to ask, what's on the menu tomorrow at the Rove House?
Man, I don't even know it. I went and picked up Desiree and my daughter Alexis, and we got to head over to the grocery store so we can figure it out. I already had a little Popeyes today, so I got a little taste of chicken today. So I guess it'll be some turkey, some cabbage, some green bean casserole. But it's going to be a little healthier. It's not going to be exactly as healthy as the Biggest Loser, but it's going to be a little healthier Thanksgiving for me this year.
No chitlins there?
No, she don't know how to make no chillin', man. We not in Arkansas. We're in California, man. I got to go back home if I want to eat some chillin'.
What about supermarket chillin'?
Huh?
Supermarket chillin'.
Supermarket chillin'? Nah, man. You can't find that in the supermarket out here. You ain't finding no chillin'. You're not finding no pig feet. My dad used to make me go get them pig feet and all of those stuff. I couldn't eat them pig feet. Those deal pig feet and all of those crazy. I couldn't eat all that, man. But I will eat some chillin' every now and then.
I haven't had them in a while, but
I haven't
I'm definitely
either.
A fan. Definitely a fan. Definitely. And Willie, what are you most thankful for on this Thanksgiving Eve, as Thanksgiving is tomorrow?
Yeah, I just say I'm thankful that all my kids are doing well and they're doing good academically, and you know, I get to go see them, and you know, the fact that the family and friends, everybody's doing pretty good right now.
And that's definitely a good thing. And Willie, we're thankful for you stopping by on this Thanksgiving Eve. We wish you nothing but the best of luck and have a happy Thanksgiving. And who knows, maybe you can sneak some chitlins in for the Thanksgiving meal.
I'm going to have to fly down or get them to ship me some overnight if I'm going to eat them, man. But I don't think I need any chitlins right now.
Oh, well, Thanksgiving. You can splurge on Thanksgiving. Everybody needs some chitlins every now and then.
Yeah. All right, man.
Take care.
You guys
happy
have a
Thanksgiving.
Good one. And we're going to talk about these games next week, but I got all the home teams winning tomorrow, so.
And I got two of the home teams winning. But
yeah, I know. You
so
got
I
the
got,
49. I know Paul's got the 49ers winning.
Yeah, I got two of the road teams, and then I have.
Yeah. So and Green Bay. We'll see. But I think Detroit, it's a division game. It's not going to be like they're playing somebody going to Green Bay. They got to go to Detroit and beat them indoors. Detroit has not played as consistent as we would have thought the last few weeks. But I think Detroit's going to come out and put on a good show tomorrow.
We'll see. And I like the Green Bay Packers to move to 11-0. Aaron Rodgers and those boys, they're going to put up some points. And they're going to put up a lot of points, and I think that they will win the game tomorrow. We shall see, Willie.
Okay.
Happy Thanksgiving, sir.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
Take care. The great Willie Rofe. Pleasure talking to him. And I was hoping Willie would have some chitlins tomorrow for Thanksgiving. I mean, there's nothing like them. They're very tasty. They don't smell that great, but they are very tasty. But Willie won't be having them, and I don't think I'll be having them as well, but maybe next time. Let's bring in now actress and one of the stars of The Rum Diary, Miss Karima Westbrook. Karima, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing very well. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And right now, Karima, you are starring in The Rum Diary. out in theaters now. For those who have not seen it, what can they expect?
They can expect a lot of funny moments. I think this is a chance to see Mr. Depp in a different light. If you're fans of Hunter S. Thompson, you'll definitely enjoy it as well. But I think the film consists of a number of elements. It's a period piece, so it takes place in the 1950s. But I think you can expect actually. It showcases the reality of what's actually happening today in the world as far as having a voice and with journalists and the media. But also, I think it's a fun ride. It just depends on what you're into, actually. But there are a lot of funny moments.
And you talked about Johnny Depp. How is it being on set with Johnny Depp?
It was great, actually. I mean, I didn't really know what to expect, but he's a very, very nice guy. There were a lot of moments where he would be really quiet, you know, because I didn't know if I was going to meet Jack Sparrow, you know, from the Pirates movie. I didn't really know what his personality was going to be like, but, you know, he would be really quiet, and then all of a sudden he would crack a joke, and it was like, okay, you know. So he's a cool guy. He's a cool guy. Very
right.
Calm, very, very nice.
And in this movie, you play a hermaphrodite, and I'm trying to figure out how a beautiful woman like yourself pulled this off. Talk about that.
Definitely, the costume and makeup department played a huge part in pulling it together. But it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I mean, you wouldn't recognize me. I mean, you would know, if you know I'm in the film, you would know it's me. But pretty much I would say the biggest help was definitely, like, makeup and the costume department as far as helping me pull it off as far as the look. But I just have fun with the character. It was a lot of fun.
And let's talk about the audition process for this movie. After you auditioned, did you feel like you would get this role or get this part in the movie, in this movie?
I did, you know, because after I auditioned, the casting directors, they were clapping, and they were like, get ready for Puerto Rico, you know, but I didn't hear for a while. I was like, did they find somebody else? Maybe about three weeks or maybe a month went by, and I didn't hear anything, but that was a big indication that I was in the running for, like, they were clapping afterwards. I was like, okay, you know, and I went, and I just had fun. I had my sticks and dirt, and I just really played in the room, so it definitely worked.
We're talking to actress Karima Westbrook, and she stars in The Rum Diary in theaters now, so make sure you go check it out, go see it. It's a very good movie. And Karima, speaking of auditions, you crashed the audition for Save the Last Dance. Talk about that. I did.
You know, I was so hungry. You know, I was just, you know, when you have your goals and you have your mind set on achieving something, and I wanted to work. And at the time, I didn't have a theatrical agent, and a friend of mine told me about the audition, and I just showed up like, you know what? I know I don't have an appointment, but I'm just going to, you know, step out on faith and see what happens. And, you know, I got to the audition, and clearly I wasn't invited. All the women looked completely different than I did. They all had, like, long, straight hair, and at the time my hair was, like, really short and natural. And so I kind of stuck out like a sore thumb. And I approached the casting director. I'm like, I don't have an audition for this, but will you please, you know, I pretty much begged her, and she let me audition. So, I mean, I just feel like, you know, take actions now and apologize later. You know, like, you never know what could happen. So I've just been very driven in that way. So, you know, that was a nice stepping stone for me.
Definitely, and it led to bigger things. And I saw somewhere that one of the actresses that really inspired you was Whoopi Goldberg. Talk about that.
Oh, yeah. I love Whoopi Goldberg. I mean, when I was a kid, I remember watching movies, and she was, like, the biggest face, I mean, like, as far as a black actress in Hollywood. Like, she was starring in movies. I mean, from Burglar, Jumpin' Jack Flash, Fatal Beauty, Color Purple. And she was so funny, you know? I remember watching it, and every movie was, like, all these different characters, and I was just in awe of her. I mean, she really, really inspired me to to know, like, it was possible, you know, like, I could do, well, I didn't figure that out until later, like, okay, I could really do this as a career, but looking at her, it was just, she made me laugh, she touched me in a way where I was like, I love this, I love this woman, like, she's great.
Right, and mm-hmm. I was trolling around on your Facebook page, and I saw that you entered the B. Bobby Next Pretty, Powerful Face contest.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, that was a contest that I heard about a couple weeks ago. Bobby Brown Cosmetics were looking for their new face for their fall campaign, and whoever had the most votes actually wins. So I started promoting, just trying to get votes for it, and the voting ended actually Friday, and they're going to make the official announcements on the 30th of this month. So it was just something for me. I kind of felt like this was an opportunity. That's something that I've always wanted to do, as far as having some sort of endorsement for a beauty product, or being the face of some sort of beauty product. So I kind of felt like, oh, this is an opportunity right here. Let me go for it. And so that's what I did.
And do you think you'll win?
I don't think I'll win, unfortunately. I mean, it started in August. And so, like, I found out about it, like, 2 weeks ago. So I really pushed, and I think I may have gotten, like, I got, like, 1,300 votes, a little over 1,300 votes. And the winner, she had, like, 6,000 votes. So I was like, oh, okay. Well, if I would have started back in August, I think I would have had a really good chance.
And tell us why you should be the winner.
Well, I think, I mean, as far as beauty is concerned, I mean, I think it's definitely perception, but I think that beauty exists in all things. I think that me as a person, I feel like I have inner beauty, and I feel that makeup doesn't necessarily brings about beauty, but I think that the person, the individual themselves, definitely just can reflect beauty based off of who they are and what they do and how they live. And, you know, I just feel like I should be the face, because I want to be the face. I don't really know. I just think that, you know, Bobby Brown, I don't really see a lot. I'm not saying that she doesn't have a lot of, you know, black women representing her product, but I definitely feel like I can bring in, you know, or attract a different, you know, demographic and, ethnicity, as far as women really knowing about her product and wanting to try it. And I think, you know, I would be a fresh face, because I am a fresh face in a lot of different capacities, entertainment-wise and, you know, visibility. So I think it'll be, you know, it could be a good match and synergy-wise as well. And, my biggest voice behind it would just be, you know, beauty, you know, exists within. We're all beautiful, you know, and
right. It's
about who you are as a person.
And so we will be rooting for you. Hopefully you can win.
Hey, you never know. You never know what can happen. I always say it's not open to that lady thing.
That's a great, great point. And you have the Rum Diary going on now, but what else does Karima Westbrook have going on?
Well, in February, I have a film that's going to be released called The Last Laugh. It's a film I had the opportunity to work with Chris Rock's brother, Tony Rock, last year. Okay. And that film, I just learned that film got distribution, so it'll be releasing in February of next year. So I'm very excited about that. That's a comedy and a completely different character. I've been doing a lot of character roles, and so that's one. And then an indie film called The Arrival, which I think is an important film. Can't really reveal too much about the storyline, but because that will be a reveal of what the movie is like completely about, but it's
right.
Very relative to the times, and, you know, I think people will really get a kick out of that. And then I have another movie next year. It's called Bolden, and I worked on Bolden several years ago. I just heard recently that we will get a 2012 release. And Bolden is about Buddy Bolden, the man who was known to create the sound of jazz. And
okay.
I play Alice Bolden, his mom. And my character ages from, she starts at 23 and age to 52 in the movie. So I think that, again, another character that'll, you know, be able to showcase my range as an actress. But I think that's going to be a wonderful film.
And you're all over the place, and that's a great thing.
Yeah, things are picking up. You know, thank God, things are, you know, are picking up. So, you know, I'm just looking forward to, you know, tackle more work and tell more stories.
We're talking to actress Kareema Westbrook, and Kareema stars in The Rum Diary in theaters now. Make sure you go and check it out. And Kareema, tomorrow it's Thanksgiving, my personal favorite holiday. I got to ask, what's on the menu at the Westbrook house?
Oh, Lord. You know, I started cooking. I'll be at a friend's house tomorrow, but I started cooking my own little meal yesterday. So what's on the menu here, I made macaroni and cheese. I'm very happy about this. I made macaroni and cheese, Cornish hens, and dressing. So I actually just finished eating. I warmed up some food. I just finished eating it. So I'm feeling a little sleepy right now. But that, and then I'm making lemon cake tonight. So that's what's going on over here.
No chitlins?
Ooh, no. I haven't had chitlins. You know what? I'm not going to lie. I used to love chitlins when I was younger. In Chicago, that was kind of like a common thing on the menu, especially during Thanksgiving and Christmas. But since I've moved to L.A., I think I had it once. I went to Thanksgiving dinner, and I was so shocked that they had it because, I haven't had chitlins in L.A. and since I've been here. But I tried it. I was like, you know, it kind of took me back to when I was a kid, and I tried it, and my stomach was hurting, like, all night. So I don't think I will be having chitlins anymore.
So that's the last time, then, is what you're
going. Yeah, I think so. I think it's a wrap with chitlins.
And Thanksgiving is tomorrow. Yeah. What are you thankful for?
You know, I'm thankful for life. I'm thankful for many lessons in life and having a better understanding that, you know, that's what it's ultimately about. You know, I'm excited about the future. I'm very thankful for my blessings thus far as career-wise, and I'm very thankful for the friends that I have in my life. I'm very thankful for, you know, having a roof over my head. You know, I'm very thankful for just the very simplistic things in life that, you know, we might take for granted, like having food in your refrigerator. And
right.
I'm very thankful for, you know, my family. They're all well and doing good. So, I mean, I'm just thankful for life and having the opportunity to continue to grow and to continue to pursue all the things that I want to do, you know?
Right. And that's definitely a lot to be thankful for. You got a lot of projects going on. And so you're busy, and that's a great thing, a great thing.
Yeah. And good health, too, you know? So many people are getting sick these days. You know, there's a lot of deaths. You know, there's a lot of people dying unexpectedly. And so you kind of just, like, really look at life and just be thankful that you're here, you know, you have good health, you're able to function and, you know, get around. So it's like I said, the small things, the small stuff, those are the things that really do count at the end of the day. So I'm thankful for that.
And where can fans connect with Kareema Westbrook?
You can connect with me on Facebook. My, I guess my tag on Facebook is actress Kareema Westbrook. And then also on Twitter, you could connect with me at Only One Kareema. That's a Twitter page that I have. I actually have two Twitter pages, but that's one. And then the other one is Driven Alter Ego, which is an open page that you can go to that kind of do little blurts here and there on. So I'm trying to work this whole social media thing out and bring it all together, but those are the places you can connect with me at.
And fans, make sure you connect with Kareema Westbrook. She's doing a lot of great things. And make sure you go check out The Rum Diary in store and theaters right now. Please go check it out. She's a great actress. And Kareema, it was a pleasure having you. We wish you nothing but the best of luck. And happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Same to you.
Take care.
All right. Thanks. You too. Bye-bye.
Kareema Westbrook, actress. And she is in The Rum Diary. in theaters now. Make sure you check it out. Sounds like a very good movie. It sounds like an interesting movie. Of course, you got the great Johnny Depp in that movie, so make sure you check it out. Karima Westbrook is doing some big things. She's busy in Hollywood, which is a good thing. She's busy in this bad economy, which is a good thing, because there's a lot of people who are not busy in this economy, and she's busy, and she's getting it done. She is absolutely getting it done. So please, please support the movie. Please support all the things that she's doing, Karima Westbrook. And she's enjoying it, and it's Thanksgiving tomorrow. It's Thanksgiving tomorrow, and Thanksgiving is a great, great holiday, a great time of the year. I love Thanksgiving. I truly love Thanksgiving. Truly love it. Truly, truly love it. And one thing that I don't know if I necessarily like, but we'll see what happens, is Major League Baseball adding an additional playoff team. And in doing so, they're basically creating a one-game playoff between the two, between the last wild card team and an outside team. So it basically will be a one-game playoff, and that one-game playoff will decide one of the four teams that will be in the playoffs. So I think in some respect, it does devalue the regular season a little more. Let's just say you have a situation where you have the wild card teams, and then you have one team that's the fifth team, and they're a few games back behind the wild card team. To me, that kind of devalues the regular season a little more. And you continue to devalue the regular season in baseball. One of the things about baseball is the regular season and the importance of the regular season. Well, that's being devoured. That's being devalued, a little more right now. It's definitely being devalued. And so I think this devalues it a little more. I really do. I definitely think it devalues the regular season a little more. And I don't like it. I don't know if I necessarily like it, but, it is all about money. It is all about money. And, that's money makes the world go around. Money definitely makes the world go around. So with that being said, Major League Baseball is looking to get more money. And you look at the NFL many years ago when they added teams to their playoff, it was about money. It truly was about money. You look at the NBA when they changed the first round of the NBA series from 5 games to 7 games. It was about money. It was about money. So whether it's good for the game, bad for the game, it's good for the game from a financial point of view. And that's sometimes what it's all about, from a financial standpoint. And I think that's what this is about. That's what this is about. And that's an interesting situation. Major League Baseball, they're adding another team. And by adding that other team, you now have an opportunity to make more money. You have an opportunity to make more money. And there's labor peace in baseball. There's labor peace in baseball. The new CBA agreement is signed for the next 5 years. So they have labor peace in baseball. And that's a good thing, because the NBA does not have labor peace. They don't have labor peace. They just don't have it. They don't have it. But here's a good thing. They have reopened negotiations. They have reopened negotiations. And hopefully, they can do enough where they can end this lockout, and hopefully we can watch basketball on Christmas Day. Basketball and the NBA are perfect together on Christmas Day. The NBA basketball is perfect on Christmas Day. That's a beautiful thing. So I'm hoping that they can settle this agreement, so come Christmas Day, I can watch NBA basketball. let's just hope they can get it done. Let's just hope they can get it done. And one thing I am concerned about, I think they have to be concerned about if you're the NBA, not too many people are talking about the NBA. And it's like you don't really have a lot of people really missing the NBA right now. And to me, that's not a good thing. That's actually a bad thing. People were jonesing for football when football was out. You don't have that same thing with the NBA. You don't have it. There's just not the same desire from the fans, not the same type of passion. A lot of people don't miss it. A lot of people do not miss it. I miss it. I truly miss it. And I want it back. And I'm hoping the players, the owners, can hear my cry and get this thing back. Hopefully they can get this thing back. Hopefully. We shall see. But I am optimistic about them talking again. That gives me optimism. That gives me hope. That gives me optimism and that gives me hope that they can take care of this thing and that they can get back on the court. We shall see. But I'm hoping. I'm hoping that the NBA settles their differences, and I'm hoping that the NBA and its players get back on the field and get back, not the field, get back on the court and get back on the court now. Please, let's get back on the court and let's play NBA basketball because NBA basketball is fantastic. Remember that? Remember that old commercial back in the day? NBA basketball is fantastic. And speaking of fantastic, if you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan, Kyle Orton is back as a starter. Well, we'll see, but more than likely, he will be a starter in Kansas City. Matt Castle's out for the year. And Kyle Orton is a suitable replacement. He's a suitable replacement, a guy who puts up numbers and has put up numbers in this league. Struggled a little bit this year, especially with turnovers. 8 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Struggled a little bit in that end. But he puts up numbers. He puts up yardage. The guy puts up numbers. And if you're Kansas City, you need a quarterback. You can't go with Tyler Palco and expect to win football games. You can't go with Tyler Palco and expect to be involved in any type of playoff race. You can't. And you look at it, they're fighting. They are fighting to win that NFC West, and they're right there. They're right in the mix. So, I mean, they do have an opportunity. And Orton last season for the Denver Broncos, 20 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, over 30. So numbers were there when it comes to Kyle Orton. Numbers have been put up by Kyle Orton. But we shall see what happens moving forward. But Kyle Orton is in Kansas City, and Kansas City has a shot. They have a shot. A game out of first place in two games out of first place in the AFC West. So there is a shot. How much of a shot? We shall see. We want to thank Mike Patterson and the Philadelphia Eagles for stopping by. We wish Mike and the Philadelphia Eagles nothing but the best of luck as they play the New England Patriots Sunday in Philadelphia. Also, we want to thank Karima Westbrook. She has a great movie out, The Rum Diary. Make sure you check it out. In theaters now, starring Karima Westbrook and Johnny Depp. So make sure you check that out. Also, the great Willie Rofe. Congratulate him for being the 2012 Hall of Fame semifinalist. And Dejon Gomes, we also thank him for stopping by. Hopefully we can get him back at a later date. You can listen to this show and other great shows at blogtalkradio.com/pregame, where you can listen to this great show and other great shows. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at GoForItGain, and make sure you listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pregame. For everybody here at GoForIt, have a happy Thanksgiving. See you later. Take care. Bye.